believes that anymore, but we believe it. I know Bob believes it. You believe that? Amen. Amen. In God we trust. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight. And tonight we're going to be taking the second lesson, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, all kind of tied together on spiritual gifts that we started into in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tonight, when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it deals with, how would you explain this? Maybe the way that I would look at it, it's the great chapter on love. Love becomes the one ingredient that makes all the spiritual gifts work and function like they're supposed to. I don't know why I thought of this, but I'm sitting here, I'm thinking of and this sermon tonight, and it reminded me when I was a young man at our house. They were always working on a car in the garage. My father owned a stock car, and so that sat in one stall in the garage. And my uncle, his brother, owned a Sunoco gas station, and so that was the sponsor of the stock car. So we had Sunoco on the car. And then we had a driver and a mechanic, and so there was always something going on. And that day, we worked on everything. We did everything ourselves. Matter of fact, any of the cars, anything went on, we did it. And you know, one thing I learned to appreciate at a very young age, I mean like 12, 13 years of age, if you wanted to enjoy something, you had to make sure that all the moving parts, everything was done right and working right and functioning right. It's important to check the oil on the dipstick. Amen? It's important to check to make sure you got water in the radiator, water in the battery, and going on. Now, I realize things have changed today, and everything's computerized, and it's a whole different world out there nowadays. But in that day, and I've often thought about just in my short time and all the different things that I've been involved with and how important it is to go through a checklist to make sure everything is functioning right. All the way from the simple standpoint. Now, I announced this morning about Brother Tacy, Brother Paul. When he pulls that carpet cleaning machine out, we have a big carpet cleaning machine, $15,000 machine. And it's kind of temperamental, a little bit temperamental. You got to get all the moving parts working right. You got to make sure all the systems are right and all the vacuums are right and everything is running right. You got to get the temperature right. You got to get everything. But boy, is it a sweet running thing when you get it all right. I remember when I first started to learn how to fly airplanes at age 15, once I got in the cockpit and got out there, one of the things they do is before you even get in the cockpit, before you even get in the airplane, you got to do a walk around the airplane. You got to check the flaps. You got to check the ailerons. You got to check the oil. You got to check the pitot valves. You got to check. There's a whole long list of things you got to check on the outside of the aircraft. Then once you open the door and climb the cockpit, then there's a whole bunch of other things in there, and they literally, every cockpit in private aviation has a checklist. And you literally sit in the cockpit, and you put the headphones on, you fire it up, and you're talking to the control tower, but you're going through a check, and before you ever move that plane 1 inch, you're checking everything to make sure everything's going to work all right before you get in the air and you're doing 200 miles an hour or whatever it is. You want to make sure it's all working right. So you go through the checklist. I kind of see it in the Bible. We need a checklist. And you know why sometimes things don't function the way they should? Because we don't do what's on the checklist. We don't get everything in proper work. And spiritual gifts comes down to that very thing. So when I think about that today, just simple things and life, when you look at it, there's a checklist that God gives us, and it is amazing how well things work when you work what's on the checklist, and it's lubricated by 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let's look at it here, and how God takes all the spiritual gifts, and all the spiritual gifts, that some of them that we talked about last, 2 weeks ago, is now governed by this thing called love, or here in the Bible on charity. So here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice in verse 1, Paul said this to the church. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, or in other words, have not love, he says, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, now understand, he starts talking about these gifts now. Though I have the gift of prophecy or proclaiming or preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, have not love, I am nothing. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. And then he says here, charity, love, suffereth long, and love is kind. Love, charity, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up, and doth not behave itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And then beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Boy, what a powerful verse that is. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. But charity here, love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Remember when we talked about some temporary gifts that were given, the miracles and healing and tongues? Right here, tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And Paul said this, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth these three things, faith and hope and charity. And these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So the greatest of these is love. The thing that makes all the gifts work in the body of Christ is love. The thing that makes everything fit together is love. So tonight I want to take, and if I were to title this tonight, it would just simply be exercising the spiritual gifts that God gives to us here in the Bible. And I got to show you Romans 12. Let's go back to Romans 12 in order to do this, because here's a principle that he outlines in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8 is that when Romans 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So again, here, the principle expressed here in these verses, there's going to be many kinds of different gifts. I had somebody say to me today in the church, one of the ladies in the church said, boy, that Sunday school teacher, Dolores Hamrick, is really a good Sunday school teacher. I said, yeah, she absolutely is. And she's very, very good. And she works hard at it. And she studies hard. And she prepares. And she prays. And she pours herself into it. And that. And so I know the ladies that go to her class really, really enjoy that. And so whether it be gifts, and one of the things that's been given is the gift of teaching. Remember it says in verse 7, if it's ministry, or let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. What a great thing to be able to see that in the spirit of love, when somebody finds their gift and what they God has enabled them to do, if they use that gift and apply that gift, how great it works within the body of Christ, how everything begins to function like it's supposed to function. And so we find here the stated principle expressed here in Romans 12, that he talks about there. There are many different kinds of gifts. So when you look at our text that we just read in 1 Corinthians 13, the gifts at times can be abused, or the gifts can be let me show you a verse. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Go back one chapter to 12. We were in 12 a couple weeks ago. But in these gifts, we find that our spiritual giftedness needs to be exercised in love. I wish tonight we could take the time, go around the room, and say, you know, do you know what your spiritual gift is or gifts are? And do you use them? And they should be all functioning in the spirit of love within the body of Christ. And there's guidelines that Paul gives, and the guidelines are found right here in the text chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to be exercised in the spirit of love. But here in Corinthians chapter 12, such importance of within the body of Christ. Skip down to verse 25. That why do we have the spiritual gifts? Why do we exercise the many different kinds of gifts? Why do we exercise them in the spirit of love? In verse 25, chapter 12, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And that's why when the gifts are placed in the church, it's not that your gift's more important than another's gift. All the gifts are important. And then we exercise those. And why that's so important is so there's not divisions within the body. It's not like every man for himself and every person doing their own thing. It's a harmony together. It's a oneness together. It's a spiritual giftedness together. And so our attitude should simply be here. And the using of our spiritual gifts is that one's not more important than the other. But they're given so there's not schisms, so there's not divisions, so there's harmony and unity in the body. And so it's always important to understand that Satan, I really believe this, Satan is the author of confusion, and the Bible gives us that. He's the author of doubt, and he tried to create divisions, he tried to create schisms, he tried to create, the opposite of that. The Bible is very clear. John tells us that God is love. So when you look at our spiritual gifts here in 1 Corinthians 13, we find it in the body of Christ. They are to be all applied in the spirit of love, so there's no schisms or no divisions within the body. Now, what causes the body, the growth of the body? Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians 4. I had somebody say to me the other day, and they were talking about church growth. And then I was reading some things the other day that church growth, many churches all over America have been hindered coming out of this coronavirus, that people that used to faithfully go to church before the coronavirus and the pandemic now don't go to church. Church attendances around America are down in a lot of areas. And in that area there, and you look at it, and many have chosen to disengage. So when you look at it, what causes the body to grow? What causes the church to grow? And when you think about it, really, it's the giftedness that God gives, and it's God. Remember what, in the book of Acts, the Bible says and that God added daily to the church such as should be saved, and bringing the body together. So when we find our gifts and we use them, Ephesians 4, and you get down to verse 11 here. He said he gave some apostles, well, in the early church, we don't have apostles today, he gave some prophets, some evangelists. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm even concerned that I've seen in my Christian life, how many evangelists are out there now that you see and know of? It's fewer and fewer evangelism. So just as we see that our seminaries and Bible colleges are not as many going off to Bible colleges now as they used to. Also not as many, and I see it in missions, on the side of missions, because I serve on a mission committee, and there's more missionaries that are coming off the field than are going onto the field. What happens over time by attrition when you do that? And what you end up seeing that the pipeline, closes down or draws up. And so when you look at it here, we don't even see as many in evangelism as we used to see. And it says here in verse 11, and some pastors and some teachers. And that, so what causes the growth in the body? He goes on to say here in verse 12, for what? The perfecting of the saints. There's the interesting thing. Why do we have spiritual gifts? For the perfecting of the saints. For the unification of the saints. So there's no schisms in the body. And for the work of the ministry. And here it is now in verse 12. For the edification, the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are there for a reason. Spiritual gifts are there to edify and to build up the body. Spiritual gifts are there to allow the saints to be perfected in what God has called us to do. So it's for the perfection of the body. Why? In verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? Perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, here it is now, notice this now, no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is trickery. Satan is trying to mislead the sheep and mislead the church of Christ. And so that is all led by Satan himself. But we, in verse 15, he says here, speak the truth in love, and may grow up in him all things which is the head, even Christ. And from whom the whole body, notice this now, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, and according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now think about the body of Christ. Think about the bodies that God has given to you and I. When your body is in perfect harmony and everything is working like it should be working. Did you ever notice sometimes as we age and get older, and when you cross decade by decade, sometimes things don't want to work like they used to work? Yeah, you know, your joints begin to change, your blood pressure begins to change, things begin to change. So, but when everything, as God created and designed it, put it into place, when everything functions like it's supposed to function, it's an amazing thing to be able to watch and see. So it is in the body of Christ. You know, I've had the pleasant experience in my lifetime to have a knee dislocated and out of joint, playing football with high school boys. And we're playing flag football, which really ends up being tackle anyway, flag football over in that field by Annapolis Hospital. If you go to Annapolis Hospital and you look to the west, right west of that, there's an open field. And we used to play football in there all the time. And I never played on Sunday, but I had a bunch of high school guys that said, hey, we're going to play this afternoon. I had about 20-some guys, and why don't you come play with us? Well, you know, I'm a young kid at 22, 23 years old, and you still want to be active. You like to play sports. I said, all right, I'll go. So I go, and I play, and again, flag football, everybody had the thing on. You pull the thing, and, you know, you get tackled, whatever. But we had a kid in the youth department, was about 6'3", and he dove for my flag. But his shoulder on the way going through caught my left knee and buckled my knee. His shoulder did going through. And there's nothing more excruciating than having a joint completely out of socket. I reached down for my knee and grabbed it, and then soon realized that my left kneecap was on the side of my leg sticking out about 3 inches. The whole thing got twisted. And, oh, man, I hit the ground on excruciating pain. It just brings sweat to your brow. And all the guys, I mean, it was like the game, they just stopped. And next thing I know, the only thing I remember laying on my back looking up with 20 guys surrounding me looking down saying, what do we do? What do we do? And I told Kevin McMillian, Eddie and Joanne McMillian's son, Kevin, the number two boy, I said, Kevin, go over there to Annapolis and get an ambulance or something, get them over here. And so Kevin makes a beeline and crosses over to Annapolis, go to the emergency room. Next thing I know, I hear a siren coming and get over there. And then the challenge was they couldn't get me loaded up because I would challenge you, throw your joint out of socket, lay on the ground, let somebody try to pick you up. Because no matter how they move you, it all fitly joins together. And when that joint is out of socket, it hurts. It excruciating hurts. So they end up sliding a piece of sheet metal under me, and then got guys all the way around lifted up and hoisted me into the ambulance to go over there to the Annapolis Hospital, and they x-ray it, and the doc comes out, and I'm laying on a gurney there in the hallway at Annapolis emergency room. He says, you know, we got to put this back in. I said, yeah. I said, what are you going to put me out? He said, no. He said, this will only take a second. He said, you're just going to have to grin and bear it. I said, right now? He said, right now. So I'm laying on a gurney in a hallway at Annapolis emergency room, and he grabs my ankle and grabs my thigh, and he said, this is going to hurt. The only thing I can tell you is just hang on. And he said, but believe me, he said, your kneecap's going to come right back over where it's supposed to be. And with that, he kind of went like that, and it did hurt. He was right. It did hurt. And come right back over in place. So when the whole body is fitly joined together and working like it's supposed to, it's an amazing thing. Same thing in the body of Christ. When something's out of joint, It hurts. Jim Monroe right now is doctoring a shoulder. He got a shoulder injury. And he and I were talking about it because a couple years ago, I decided to go. I wanted to go snow skiing one day, so I'm up at Cadillac skiing where I used to take the kids and skiing up there. And I come down a mountain up there and was getting about 4 in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, you know how you do it, the sun will come out and it'll melt a little bit of snow and it'll get a little bit moist. You get a little bit of an ice covering on it. And I went to cut to the left, and it didn't cut. The skis didn't dig in. And I went down, and man, I hit hard and went down. And when I came down, I tried to balance, but I was too far. And so I overcorrected and come back. I ended up on this left shoulder. And when the dust all cleared, one ski's going this way, one this way. And the only thing I could tell was pain in this whole upper shoulder. I reached up my grab, and I could feel this whole shoulder was out of socket. So I'm letting there, some dude skied up beside me. He said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Not really." I said, "I'm just trying to see what's out of joint here." And so he said, "You want me to help you get up?" I said, "No, I can figure it out." And so I got up, strapped my skis back on, got everything lined up, hang on to the shoulder, ski down the mountain. And I thought, you know, I probably should just pack it up and go home. So I go home with a dislocated shoulder, and it took over a year for that. Yeah, you have to get it. Number one, you got to get it put back in place. Number two, you got to go to therapy. And number three, you got to then just wait on the healing process. And a shoulder injury for me takes a long time. The same thing I think here, when I think of these spiritual gifts of in the body fitly joined together, when something's out of joint, the body is never going to function like God designed it to be functioning. So when you look at it here in the scripture, it's absolutely crucial that the body functions like it's supposed to function. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So in that, one of the things, I just want to take a minute and address this there. You say, well, how do you find every member of the body is commanded, there are certain gifts that you, everyone, can be a part of or be engaged in. And are there certain gifts? Absolutely. And we went through those 2 weeks ago. But here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that all Christians are to function in the body with these certain things in place. 2 Corinthians 5, notice in verse 7, "For we walk by what? Faith and not by sight." Such a short verse, not many words in it. But you and I are to walk by faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're walking by sight, which is what we usually want to do, that's not by faith. And so in our spiritual giftedness, it's walking in everything in our Christian life, no matter where we serve and what we do, it should be in an element of faith involved in our walk with the Lord. Let's go over to James 1:5. So you need faith. Every Christian, as you exercise your spiritual gift, can exercise this faith. James 1 in verse 5. Second thing is wisdom. Every person exercising your spiritual gift needs wisdom. The Bible says right here in James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom," he says, "let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So you say, "God, I don't understand my spiritual gift. I don't understand how to use it. I don't understand how to be..." God will give you the wisdom if you pray and you ask him for that. He'll show you what to do. So you need faith. You need wisdom in there. And then 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, you need knowledge. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you get down to verse 15. And here's a great verse. And this applies to everybody. I don't care where you think your spiritual giftedness is at. The Bible says here, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In other words, by that verse, it simply means that in the Christian life, you should be a Bible student. You should be reading your Bible, looking at the Word of God, no matter what level you're at. You don't have to be into the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic texts and dissecting words. You don't have to get into all that unless you want to at some point. But you need to study your Bible, and you need to learn. And that's one of the benefits of going to Sunday school, of going to church, and Faith Bible Institute. That's what that is all about. So in your giftedness, is acquire more knowledge. More knowledge of what? The Word of God, the Bible. You should know more about the Bible this year than you did last year. And then the application of that is through faith and with wisdom. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I think the fourth thought that comes along in this area, that in discovering our giftedness, is exhortation. Everybody can be an exhorter. Everybody can, when you come to church, try to exhort somebody else. You never know what somebody else has gone through until you talk to them. So we need to exhort, to encourage. By that, Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what it says. Not what? Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, but what? Here's the word now. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when you think about it, I know right now there's a lot of people that are still out. And we live stream the services. That's a good thing if you can reach people. But there's people that I know watch or listen to the live stream that should be in the body of Christ, that if you're not here amongst believers in the body and carrying out the spiritual gifts, they're not going to be a part of that exhortation. They've isolated themselves from the rest of the body. And that's not a good thing in the long haul. It might be good if you're a shut-in, or you can't get here, just physically can't get here. But in the body needs exhortation. And we can all be a part of that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Show you this, that not only should we have faith and wisdom, knowledge and exhortation, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, we can all participate in this thing called giving and stewardship, our stewardship to Him. And giving found here, and because it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he, what, purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giving. Giving should be a part of our worship, and it shouldn't be a painful, like taking the castor oil kind of thing, like, God, I just... If there's anything else, you know, no. Joy, giving should be a part of the joy of our Christian life and one of the things in our worship. And then it's also given to every man as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. And then you don't give grudgingly. You give out of or you don't have to necessarily always out of necessity. For God loveth what? A cheerful giving. Now, there are some, I think, in the spiritual gifts that have been gifted for that area of giving. That can go above and beyond. But I think it's a gift that can be applied to everybody in the area of giving. And then, if you will, 1 Corinthians 12:25, and that is care one for another in the body of Christ. I think our congregation, they try to do a pretty good job. I think for the most part, everybody does, that we genuinely care about others, what's going on, the pain they're going through, the suffering they're going through, and try to be sensitive. I know a lot of times on a Sunday when I'll say something about whatever so-and-so in the congregation, there's a lot of people sitting here in the congregation that may not even know who that person is. There's a lot of people that sit over here in this section that don't know the people that sit over here in this section and in the body of Christ. So they got to get to know each other and their giftedness, and we try to keep them involved in that whole process and caring one for another. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. There should be, I'm back to that verse again, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should what? The members should have the same care one for another. Sometimes the only thing we're really focused at is what's on our mind, what's on our heart, what's in our lives, what's going on with us, and we're not really thinking about our neighbor or our others in the body of Christ. And so when the Bible does not explicitly explain how to determine, you know, one's giftedness and how he's given that, it's something you got to pray about. God will show you what to do. And then I would say, you know, you're drawn to that which interests you or where you think you can be engaged and involved in. You can begin by being obedient in all areas, as we mentioned there, exercising your faith and wisdom and knowledge and exhortation and giving, caring one for another. And then I think from there, it's looking for doors of opportunity, open doors of opportunity that God opens. And then you pray about whatever those opportunities are and that God will show you. And then we seek also counsel from other believers. I've had people literally, Charlie, can you switch me to the pulpit and I'll turn my mic off. It did pretty good except for the last 5 minutes. We'll just go to the pulpit, Mike, and test 1, 2. Are we on? You can hear okay. Okay, there we go. And we'll wrap this up here. But when you think about it, looking for doors of opportunity, praying for opportunities to serve, that we need to seek the counsel of others within the body of Christ. I really appreciate it. Joyce Merchant, I was in a conversation one day, and Joyce said, Pastor, I know exactly where my spiritual gifts are. And she began to mention 2 or 3 spiritual gifts, and she focuses on those. People that are older or have been involved in Christianity for a while, you've had plenty of time to search out what's your spiritual gifts. So you look for open doors or opportunities and to serve and then be in a matter of prayer. And there may be more than one that you're involved in. So discovering the giftedness. And we each need to exercise that giftedness. And so for the body to function like the body is to function, so there's no schism in the body, there's unity and harmony in the body, is for the more for people to find their area of giftedness. Let's go to 1 Peter, and we'll close with this here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter. I love being in 2 Peter this morning, but here in 1 Peter chapter 4, and you get down to, what is it, in verse 10, it said, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What is he talking about, the gift, as you been given. If you go back up before that, using hospitality one to another without grudging, and as you receive the gifts that you've been given, the things, and then that we minister those gifts one to another in the body of Christ. Not all are going to do the same thing, but all can come together and be a part and use that gift that God. And by doing so, we then in our stewardship become good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So stewardship really, you know, when it comes down to it, it talks about the stewardship of our time. Everybody's been given the same amount of, I can't sway away from that. You've been given the same amount of time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've been given talents and giftedness, and we got to find where those areas are at. And then not only of our time and our talents and that that God is using. By doing so, we become good stewards of the manifold grace of God to be able to function like it's supposed to function. It's interesting. Before I came over here tonight, I was talking to Joe Van Oyster out on the other side. And Joe, this last year, has learned how to fly an airplane, got his pilot's license. And so he and I were talking over there. I said, you really haven't had any emergency situations develop yet other than what an instructor will put you in and then try to make sure you're prepared to be able to handle that. I said, I could share with you, man, I've had some hair-raising experiences along the way and flying airplanes and emergent, and you got to stay cool, calm, and collected and to realize that when things are working well, it's an amazing thing. And the humming of that airplane engine, and if everything's going well, it's a great. But when it's not going well, your old heart goes pitter-patter. I was telling him, I said, I had an airplane one time that I was preparing to make a trip to Mexico on a mission field. It was a Cherokee 6, and I was by myself. I was getting in some night flying time. I had just taken the plane off the ground. I was in the air at about 1,000 feet, and I was climbing out of the traffic pattern in Sioux Falls at the airport, and all of a sudden everything in the cockpit went totally dark. Now, it's dark outside, and you look and you can see the city lights, but you want to get your old heart going pitter-patter. The only thing I can say is, praise God, the engine's still running. And it was still running and humming, and I could still talk on the radio to the control tower. So I told them what my problem was, and I didn't know what to do, but I'm flying. Imagine that you're flying an airplane at about 180 miles an hour, and you're talking on the radio, and I'm thinking, it's just got to be something not right. I don't know. So I just happened to take my left hand down by all the ignition wires and where the switch is, where you turn the ignitos on and turn everything on. And all of a sudden, something must have been loose because, boom, everything come back on, all lit up. I thought, praise the Lord, and that. And so, you know, when you think about that in the body of Christ, when everything's working great, It's an amazing thing how things begin to function, how smooth it is. And so it is in the Lord's work. If everybody will find their spiritual gifts, it's an amazing what the church can do, and that in the body. And by each other supporting each other and being an exhortation to others to find their gift, use their talents, use their abilities, looking for those open doors, and then by faith and wisdom. Yeah, we all can use faith, and we all need wisdom and knowledge. And exhortation, I don't think you can ever get that today, enough of that in the body of Christ. Matter of fact, when you come to the Lord's house, you ought to look at, really, who can I help or who can I encourage today while I'm here worshiping the Savior? There's always somebody that needs a pat on the back and encouragement to go. You never know when somebody might be that close to quitting or throwing in the towel, and you just need to try to help them. And that's how the church and the body was all fitly joined together in these spiritual gifts. So we'll pick up there next week in 1 Corinthians 14, but let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we thank you for 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And God, we thank you tonight for the love that you give to us in realizing that as you have put in the body of Christ these different gifts and different talents and different abilities, that not every person in the body of Christ has the same gift. But God, we can all exercise certain things. We can all support each other. We can all work in harmony and unity together. We can all encourage each other. And in the bond of love that binds us all together, we can move forward for the cause of Christ. And so God, today help us to stay focused on you. Help us to live godly in Christ Jesus for you. And help us to serve you this week in exercising the gifts that you've bestowed and put into our lives. And may we be found faithful in our service to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a great week. Jeff, we're praying for you when you head north, buddy. Be careful. Don't bring any more snow back home. You're dismissed.